Okay. Good morning, everybody. It's the last share of the year, and it's a shame it won't continue again next year. But I just want to use the opportunity to thank people who participate in this share. It gives me a lot of chizuk, gives me a lot of opportunity to work on the share, prepare the share, and it always gives clarity when you deliver it to people in a way that they're critical and they listen, and you get questions, and it's always very, very beneficial. That the Mishnah says, "When Tamida Yosha Mikulam, I learn more from my Tamidim than from anybody else," is because you've got the responsibility of being accurate and making sure that what you're saying is correct. And so I just want to use the opportunity, Roshana, to express a little bit of thanks to all of you out there who understand how much it gives me. We have an interesting setup. So interesting, it happens every couple of years. After all, out of the 7 days of the week, Rosh Hashanah can only fall on four of them. Chazal set up our calendar in a way that first day of Rosh Hashanah will never fall on a Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. So that only leaves us four out of seven options. Four out of 7 days how it can fall out, and therefore this happens every now and then. But we're going to have a three-day Yom Tov, as we like to call it. For those in Chutz Laaretz, it's not going to be Rosh Hashanah, it's going to be Sukkot and Sukkot Torah. They're going to get this three-day series now three times in a row. And what are the halachic ramifications for us when it comes to practical keeping Shabbos? So Chazal told us that on Rosh Hashanah we make a very interesting balance between Emes Hadin and Simchat Yom Tov. On the one hand, it is a day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting us under scrutiny, under the microscope. He's going to see how we have worked on ourselves the past year, not worked on ourselves, what our intentions are for the future year, how are we doing, have we done tshuva, what work have we done, where are we going, and according to that, as individuals, as a community, as a country, as a nation, we're going to be judged on multiple levels, and our future for the year and our future generally is going to be decided for us over the next 10 Aseres Yemei Tshuva, whether it's signed and sealed already on Rosh Hashanah, or signed on Rosh Hashanah and sealed in Yom Kippur. Like the Rambam says, we all got to take ourselves as if we are Beinonim. That Rosh Hashanah comes and we are 50-50, and we now have to work on ourselves to tip the scales in our favor by the time Yom Kippur comes, which is interesting why we, there's a discussion, we wish each other on the first night of Yom Tov, the Shana Tov Tikosev, the Tikosev, the Avachayim Tov and the Shalom, and they are opinions that hold that you're not supposed to say this chasim because there's no chasim on Rosh Hashanah. Chasim is on Yom Kippur. And the Dalia Eisman that fell the Mashkiach, the previous Mashkiach, Kotoria, after davening when we went round to the Ramin to wish them hit with Yom Tov, we'd say the Shana's over because that's all, not more. According to that Chitta, that there's no chasim on Rosh Hashanah. The Minigam Makan is to say Tikosev is a chasim and then to add on a whole lot of other blocks. But we're also, as I said, on the one hand, this is a very meaningful, filled with trepidation, nervous day. We're standing before the ultimate judge. We're having our future judged upon. It's not a time for frivolity. It's not a time for taking things lightly. On the other hand, it's a Yom Tov. Chazal tell us it's a Yom Tov, and that we've got to celebrate it like a Yom Tov. Therefore, we passed in that on Rosh Hashanah, we've got to wear better clothing than our weekday clothing, you wear your Shabbos clothing. And Rosh Hashanah, it's a davening PSL, those who put on the kippah, wear their clothing with the nice the Shabbos clothing. We're supposed to have haircuts and bathe and get ready for Rosh Hashanah, just like we do for any other Yom Tov. And we're supposed to partake of Yom Tov meals, just like every other Yom Tov. Yet, on the other hand, we are also told to be careful that we shouldn't overindulge, don't get drunk, don't drink too much. Don't overeat to a point where it leads a person to call kamas roish, lightheadedness, and therefore a person might be he'll lose track of the severity of the day. So we're walking a very interesting tightrope, right? Walking a very tight line over here too, that we try to keep balance. Our meals have got to be festive but yet serious, and that is the meals that we're going to have. We're going to have four meals in Rosh Hashanah, the two night meals, the 2 day meals. How does this come into Shabbos? Is that on Erev Shabbos, we've learned, is not a time to have a big meal. The halacha says that on a regular Erev Shabbos, you can you should not have a meal larger than a normal weekday meal. Whatever you eat during the week is fine, but to eat more, to eat a meal larger than that is not allowed on a Friday, especially not after Mincha time. And in the late afternoon, even that, you don't have a, you can only have a snack. What do we call the late afternoon? We call it from Mincha Kana, from Shah series, from the 10th hour onwards. One doesn't even, one shouldn't sit down to a meal or can have a snack at that time of day. That is the regular halacha for a standard Friday. As for this week, or rather, let me just bring something else in first. When you have a Suddhas Mitzvah, so for example, a bris that takes place on a Friday, it's recommended to do the Suddha in the morning. Or you have Purim that falls on a Friday, it's recommended to have a Purim Suddha in the morning. But if it's a Suddhas Mitzvah Bizmano, there's no other way to do it. The bris had to be in the afternoon. The Purim Suddha extended late. You weren't able to sit down. You still got the Mitzvah in front of you. You're allowed to make a Suddhas Mitzvah on Friday. But that's when it's Palatah Mitzvah. So that's generally how we pass it when you've got 2 days of Yom Tov, that the mitzvah of having a meal on the first day overrides the chil of not eating before Kiddush of the second night. The first day is always considered superior to the second day. The second day is Mishum Tzorkei D'Yoma. It was an addition that was added on. Minhag Avoseinu B'Yodeinu, because they didn't know the setting of the calendar. And even though Rosh Hashanah is 2 days is kept in Eretz Yisrael, and that has a lot to do with the fact that Rosh Hashanah is different. It could be that it's a Yom HaRichta. I'm not going to go into the whole Gemara of how we get to that, but what that means halachically is very often we treat that the second day has much more kedusha than a regular second day Yom Tov, and we treat it as one long day rather than two separate days. That's why there's a discussion whether we're going to make Shechiyon on the second night Rosh Hashanah. On the second day Yom Tov, you do make Rosh Hashanah. If you make you do make Shechiyon. If you make Shechiyon on the first day, then you make Shechiyon on the second day. But in Rosh Hashanah, there's a shaila whether you make Shechiyon on the second day. And that's why in order to get out of a suffix, we try get ourselves into a chiyuv of Shechiyon through something else at the same time, by either the person who's making Kiddush saying Shechiyon should be wearing a new garment or is going to partake of a new fruit. And that way, he will be Mekayim his chiyuv of Shechiyon, and therefore saying Shechiyon Kiddush would be a chiyuv of Gomer and not just a suffix. If a person just agav, if a person does not have Shechiyon available, an external Shechiyon, like new clothing and new fruit on the second night, you still make Shechiyon. But mitzad the fact that there's a suffix, it could be Yom HaRichta, so then we're going to try get out of a problem, avoid it. But if you can't, then you still make Shechiyon. So therefore, we are saying that on when you have 2 days Yom Tov, the first day is always considered superior to the second day, and even Rosh Hashanah, where the second day has much more sources or reason to keep it than any other second day Yom Tov. Nevertheless, it's still considered second day Yom Tov and is slightly inferior to the first day, and therefore we're not going to diminish our meal on the first day so that we can have Kiddush on the second night and have the meal on the second night of Tehillah. But when you've got second day Rosh Hashanah followed by Shabbos, Shabbos is considered of a higher Kiddush than Yom Tov. Not that Shabbos is of a higher Chiyuv than Simcha. It's interesting because we see that when it comes to clothing, there's such a thing as Shabbos clothing and such a thing as Yom Tov. Your Yom Tov clothing brought down should be of a better quality than your Shabbos clothing. There is such a thing as having Yom Tov clothing. But that's mitzvah the Simcha Shavuot. Yom Tov is more of an Indian of having meat first. Where on Shabbos you have flesh, so you can have a chicken. You want to have meat, that's also good. But there's your Shabbos, the thing is an owner. You should enjoy the Shabbos, but after Simcha, there's not in Simcha on Shabbos. But after Kedusha Shabbos, Shabbos is a day where the Issa Shabbos is an Issa Koris. So the Issa on Yom Tov is an Issa Lav. The person who transgresses Shabbos can get killed for it, he can get killer, he can get Koris. Situation, Masha Enkid on Yom Tov, someone who transgresses Yom Tov gets mountains. It's a totally different din. That's why when we set up, when we have the Kriya Satoira, on Shabbos we have 7 aliyahs, and on Yom Tov we only have 5. Because Shabbos is considered as a higher kedusha than Yom Tov. So now you've got second day Yom Tov, and you've got Friday night coming. So what do you do about your Yom Tov meal in reference to the fact that you're going to have a Friday night meal? And the din on Friday is to be memayet your meals on Friday so that you should eat Friday night l'tehavet. So, as I pointed out, that halacha of being memayet your meals on Friday is also limited to the fact that if there's a Surah Mitzvah, so then you don't cut down from your Surah Mitzvah because you must be in kindness. But obviously you try to do what you can. So if Purim falls on Friday, you do the meal in the morning. You don't wait for the afternoon. So in Rosh Hashanah, we try the same thing as well. The Shah series is a time where one should not sit down to a meal on a regular Friday. This coming Friday, Shah series, according to the law, is at 24 minutes past 3. And therefore, preferably speaking, if you're sitting down to your Yom Tov meal, you should try to start it before 24 minutes past 3. If you're davening in a minyan, where the davening is very long, and you don't get home by that time, and you have to start the minyan later, you have to start the meal later. So we're not going to say that you should skip the meal. As I said, it's a sort of mitzvah. Therefore, you will still have your meal, even if it has to be done in the late afternoon after Shas series. But you should minimize the meal a little bit, not go overboard, perhaps have one course less, but you should have bread, and you should have a kibbutz of bread, because you need a kibbutz to be used for the suda. But maybe you shouldn't do more than a kibbutz of bread. You should have your kibbutz, but not more than that. You should have your courses have a little bit less. But a suda's mitzvah, and it's got to be a suda's mitzvah, it's got to be festive and be karaoi. Just you make it a little bit smaller if you were to start your meal after, as I said, the Shah series, which this Friday is going to be at 3:24 in the afternoon. So that's one naftamina of Rosh Hashanah falling out on a Friday. The other issue to remember is the issue of Hachana. You cannot make preparations on one day for if the first day is a Yom Kodesh with Yom Kippur or Shabbos, you cannot use that day to prepare for the next day. So very clearly, we know on Shabbos you're not going to fold your laundry, so it should be nicely folded for during the week, even though there's no malach involved in folding laundry. But if something that you do on Shabbos for the week is an Issa Hachana, Yom Tov, there's also an Issa Hachana, and only that, it's Issa Hachana one day to the next. So first day Yom Tov, the second day, and second day Yom Tov to Shabbos. And were you to have a first day Yom Tov on a Friday, which can happen like in Shavuos or something like that, that would also be, just because it's a second day Yom Tov, doesn't mean that there's less or more, it's still the same halachas. You cannot do, and if you had a Yom Tov on a Sunday, it would be the same thing. You cannot, like you have it on Pesach can fall on a Sunday, so you cannot have a, you cannot make preparations on Shabbos for Yom Tov. So Hachana applies one day to the next, from a Yom Kodesh to another day, irrelevant of whether the other day is weekday or not weekday, or a Yom Kodesh to the next. So of course, you can prepare today, you can prepare for Yom Tov, but you can't prepare from Yom Tov to any other day. So therefore, why do we get ready for Shabbos? Because, especially since these halachas were written before the invention of electricity and modern refrigerators, and food to stay fresh for 3 days was quite a feat, and it was, especially in warmer countries, it was almost impossible. And therefore, to have something to eat on Shabbos would be very, very difficult if you weren't going to eat matzah and crackers. What else stays fresh outside the fridge, or the freezer for that matter? And therefore, since Yom Tov you can cook, so you can cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So essentially, that would be the din, that you could cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. What happened to Hachana? So there's actually two ways of learning this, but we'll get into the whole nidan behind it. But that's where Erev Tashlim comes in, is that the halacha, we're going to say, without Erev Tashlim, also to make any preparations on Yom Tov for Shabbos. But if you've done Erev Tashlim, then you may make preparations for Yom Tov, on Yom Tov for Shabbos. We'll go into that in a little bit more detail soon. So I'll just mention that when you have this year, Friday, you cannot prepare for Shabbos unless you've made Erev Tashlim. What can you prepare, how you can prepare, we'll get to the details of Erev Tashlim after. A few more other halachas. The mincha of second day Rosh Hashanah, we don't say Avinu Malkeinu. It is the Ashkenaz that on a Friday afternoon you don't say Avinu Malkeinu. For each night that we're going to have, there's going to be Hadlakas Neris. On the first night, meaning Wednesday night, tomorrow night. Well, tomorrow night when you light candles, you can light candles before this man, you can light candles after this man. Obviously, you may not create a new fire on Yom Tov, but if you have an existing candle, you can take from that and light candles. Lechatchila, one should light your Yom Tov candles at the same time you light Shabbos candles. You should do it before nightfall, because our houses are illuminated with wonderful electric light. Therefore, candles that we light in Yom Tov are questionable. What are you doing? What are you adding? You're not really adding much light. Perhaps you're adding sentiment, you're adding atmosphere, ambience. Would you allow such a thing on Yom Tov to light a candle just to make a nice, to have nice candles? It's not that you're going to sit in the dark. And therefore, because of that shaila, that maybe this is called what they refer to in Halacha as Ner Batala, it is for sure preferable to light your candles before nightfall and not get into the shaila. Second night, the din is the other way around. You cannot light the candles on the first day, but the second day, and therefore on the second night, we wait for nightfall, and only then can we, A, prepare for the night meal, and B, can we light candles. So then, how can we only light candles after nightfall? What about the fact that we have electric lights in our homes, and we don't really need those candles? It's not going to add much to. We've got good quality lights that give off a couple of thousand lumens. You're going to add two candles, which is another 2 lumens. So 2 lumens is maybe 0.1% of light that's been added, which is totally unnoticeable. What have you done? So the Poskim have already gone into length some time on today on how to be mitaret. That's what aces they give. The Maisa Mina Klal Yisrael is that we light candles and we make a bracha on them on the second night of Yom Tov after dark. On the first night we have an Eitzah, so Zichah, it's better to do it before nightfall so you don't get to the shayla of the Ner Batala. But on the second night you don't have an Eitzah, the minig is to then light the candles. Now, come to the candles of Shabbos. So again, Shabbos candles, Harei, you cannot light them after dark. That's it, no more melachos. And therefore you cannot light the candles after dark on Shabbos. And therefore, you have to remember to light the candles before Shabbos comes in, as you would do on a regular Friday. Say you would do this coming Friday. Obviously, you're not going to strike a match. You're going to have existing candles. Everybody buy a long candle, either a 2 24-hours or a 48-hours. They sell nowadays. So that you light a candle from Erev Yom Tov, it will last all the way to the light of Shabbos candles, and you have a light to take from. Or if you left the stove on, you can take a light from there. The bracha we make on Shabbos candles, same bracha that you make usually, the same order. First you light the candles, and then you make a bracha. You light the candles, you cover your eyes, make the bracha. That is how on Shabbos, and that's how you do it again this week. Whereas on Yom Tov, the minig is, not like it's brought down in the Pasuk, but the Mishabura Pasuk, the minig is that on Yom Tov we do it the other way around. We first make the bracha, and then we light the candles. If your minig is the other way, then you stick to your minig, but that's what the Mishabura brings down. So we do definitely get Shabbos and Yom Tov. Another change that is different this week is that Kabbalah Shabbos, the full Kabbalah Shabbos is not said in shul, rather just Miz Mashir and Hashem Malach. Some say with more parts of the Chodori as well. Some say the whole of Kabbalah Shabbos, each kehilah to their own minig. And the accepted minig amongst the Ashkenazim is not to say Gam Medlikim this coming Friday night. Another thing to take into account is that this Friday night, davening, we're going to be saying Hamelech HaKodesh, could be part of Aseret Yimei Tshuva, where we change the bracha, the third bracha, in Shmoneh Esrei, from its closing words of Hakel HaKodesh, we change it to Hamelech HaKodesh. Therefore, so too, when the Chazan after Shmoneh Esrei on Friday night, we say Vayechulu, and then we say what's called Bracha Mei Sheva, and Maganoves Bidvoro, Chaim Eich Mahorai, and in that chapter it says Hakel HaKodesh, we change it to Hamelech. If you made a mistake, there's a big question whether you go back or not. Or you do go back to the Chosen, we'll leave it up to Chazan to know the Halachos or the Rav to correct the mistake, just for us. So those are halachos that pertain to the fact that secondary Rosh Hashanah is a Friday, and therefore take those couple of things into account. Starting my meal on time, not preparing for Shabbos, and unless you've made Erev Tashilin, candle lights for Shabbos early, not late. Those are the main things that we mentioned. Now, a couple of halachos, see what we can get in, pertaining to Erev Tashilin. As I said, Chazal did not allow us to do Hachana from Yom Tov to Shabbos. However, if you make a Erev Tevshilin, then you can do Hachana from Yom Tov to Shabbos. How much Hachana can you do? Is it only Hachana for cooking, or is Hachana for all the Malachos? We'll see in a moment. It is a very big machlokes in the Gemara as to how does this work? If Hachana is an Isur Midaraisa, which is the ability to stay on Yom Midaraisa, how could Chachamim go and give you a trick, so to speak, to get out of an Isur? How does it work? And, or is it not an Isur Midaraisa? So, there's two opinions. One opinion holds the Taka the Isur Hachana is Isur, and the way the trick, so to speak, works is that everything you cook on Yom Tov could really be eaten of itself. But I'm cooking so much that it's left over for Shabbos. Therefore, according to that opinion, what Ram takes it, is that all the food that you're preparing for Shabbos to be ready before Shabbos comes in. Because essentially it must be available to be eaten on Yom Tov itself, and it's left over, now we're eating leftovers on Shabbos. And therefore, according to that, the Magen Avraham recommends that people should take early Shabbos on when you have the situation of an Erev Tashilin, so that it forces people to make sure that the food is cooked before the night comes in. However, the Mishabura goes with the other opinion. He doesn't argue the Magen Avraham as such. He just takes the other opinion, gives it more weight, and says that another opinion says that Ikadim we hold that Tzorke Shabbos are nas in the Yom Tov. You may, in fact, the mitzvah to prepare for Shabbos on the Yom Tov. However, Chachamim didn't want you to forget about Shabbos, that you have to do the covet of Shabbos must also be important, and therefore they took away that mitzvah and made it asur unless you make an Erev Tashidin. So the Erev Tashidin just removes the restriction that they put on. So, and why did they do this? So that you should remember that Shabbos needs its own hachana. You don't just eat leftovers on Shabbos, you eat fresh food on Shabbos. And therefore you start cooking before Yom Tov for Shabbos, you put it aside, and on Friday afternoon, you continue cooking. That's how the Eruv works, is that you take food, which you set aside on, which will be tomorrow on Wednesday, and then that food is designated for Shabbos, and then you continue cooking fresh food from Shabbos on Friday. That way you show that they're cooked l'chvod Shabbos. So there's two ways of learning it. The bottom line is pretty clear, is that without Erev Tashilin, you can't do anything on Friday. For Shabbos, and with Erev Tashilin, you can, and the one nafkamina is that according to the Magen Avraham, your food should be fully cooked and edible already on Yom Tov, and not shouldn't be put onto the stove raw and carry on cooking on Shabbos, from the point of view of Erev Tashilin. Now the Ikka Gzera of Erev Tashilin was done for cooking and baking, and that is the last thing that we say. We make a bracha ala Eruv, and we say, with this Eruv I now allow myself to do the malachas that have to do with cooking. We mentioned cooking, baking, and hatmana. We also add in the adlaka shragot to light a candle, ulumeva kol tachana to do everything we need, which is an addition that we add in because we hosh to other shittas that hold that those things need to be mentioned separately, but essentially the main basis for Eruv Tashilin is for cooking and baking. The Erev Tashilin is you take food on Erev Yom Tov and you set it aside and make it as an Erev. The minig is to take not only food but also bread. The ik is the food, not the ik is the bread. If you by mistake only took bread and not food, it wouldn't be good enough. But if you took bread, if food and not bread, then it would be good enough. How much food you need to take? You need to take the kezayis. Plus, how much bread you need to take? You should take the beitza. Hidur mitzvah is to take proper choshev of food and proper kosher and a whole bread. In other words, you don't take just some. The halacha uses an expression that if you're stuffy, you don't have everything, you can take even the leftover lentils that are at the bottom of your pot and scrape out a little bit of your kazais of the lentils and put it aside. But that is a b'di'evad when there's no other eitzah l'chachila. You take fish or meat or some other good protein. Minig, the older minig was to take a hard-boiled egg. The reason for that was that a hard-boiled egg stayed fresh without refrigeration, so you had it was difficult to find cooked food that you would prepare on Wednesday and would be still edible on Shabbos. If you took a piece of meat and you didn't have a fridge, it would no longer be edible by the time Shabbos came along. Today, we have fridge and freezers, so therefore it is correct to take a piece of fish or a piece of meat and use that as your Erev Tashilin. You can even take a can of peas, you can take a piece of frozen chicken out of your freezer, but, as we said, l'chatchila should be something that if you're going to be eating Shabbos and it's raw and it's fit for the Shabbos meal, therefore we take something that we've made for Shabbos, and you take a piece of fish or a piece of meat, and use it as your tafshil, and bread, kibetza, one thick slice of bread is a kibetza, but if you have a whole roll or whole challah that you're going to keep for Shabbos, so that would be much better, that's more roll. And in fact, the meaning is that we use that challah then for Lech HaVishneh, and we eat it on Shabbos. There were those who use it as the second challah Friday night. Again, on Shabbos morning is the second challah and wasn't cut up. And then challah shudas, they actually cut up the second challah. The ikkah is to keep it for Shabbos and to use it on Shabbos, but again, it's not ma'akev, it's not a necessity, as long as it exists at the time that you were cooking. It's a mitzvah for everybody to make an eruv, not just some. Everybody should be making an eruv. However, when a head of household makes an eruv, he is included in that eruv is all the people who are members of the standard regular members of the household, meaning children, spouse, or whatever it is. Therefore, you make one per household. But if you have guests in the house, they should be making their own eruv tashilin, or should participate in the eruv tashilin of the balabai.
The people should be around when he does the eruv tashilin.
The minig is that when the balabai makes eruv tashilin, then the children and the wife should come and watch him doing this, because we want them to be aware of the fact that we make eruv tashilin. But halachically speaking, in the true sense of the word, it is not necessary for everybody to stand around. The balabais can make eruv tashilin without anybody being there, and it works fine. So
if we are arriving at the binyamin, we don't have to be there when he does eruv tashilin.
Correct.
But just ask him to include us.
Okay. Right. To include you, what he needs to do is to let you make a kinyan where you can have a chelik of the food that he's setting aside. You have you're a partial owner to the food that he sets aside, which either he gives to you and he makes the eruv when you're there, or if you're not there, then he gives the food to someone else who's coined it on your behalf. So that's what you can do if you're going to have guests, and the guests are going to be staying for the whole Shabbos, and they're not going to be going home and cooking for themselves, but they need to light their own candles. So the same thing if you have married children over, that will be the same din, that they should, they have their own, according to a lot of opinions, they have their own chiyuv of eruv tashilin, but since they're not going to be cooking, they only need it for candle lighting. So the way we pass them, practically speaking, that if you only make eruv tashilin for candle lighting, you don't make a bracha on it. You must make eruv tashilin, but you don't make a bracha on it. So then when you have such a guest, then the way to do it is to include them in your eruv tashilin and make them a partner in the food, and then you make eruv tashilin. We mentioned that the food should be ready, fully cooked. Then what you've set aside for eruv tashilin must be in existence and available to you at the time that you do your cooking. If you're doing your cooking at 12 o'clock on Friday afternoon, the bread and piece of fish or meat that you put aside for eruv tashilin must still be available to be eaten. If it got lost, eaten, destroyed, or something like that, then you've lost your eruv. Your eruv doesn't exist anymore, and you may not cook for Shabbos. If that happens, go ask a rav. There are eitzes. Go ask a rav what to do. If part of the eruv tashilin was eaten but part is still remaining, as long as you have a size of the tafshil, it is still good enough. very interesting, I saw in the name of Rav Eliashiv that if you set aside eruv tashilin on erev yom, you made eruv, you set it aside, you made the bracha, you made the eruv, and now someone went and ate it. And an hour before yom, you see you don't have an eruv. So your eruv is gone. You don't have an eruv. Once it's eaten, it's gone. It's finished. So what you have to do, you have to make another one. Not only do you have to make another one, but you've got to make a bracha on another one, because it's a new eruv. The old eruv has disappeared. It's not like it's a hemshech, it's a continuation of the previous one, but the old one has disappeared, and therefore you need to make a new bracha. The nusach that one says on the eruv must be understood, and therefore if a person doesn't understand the Aramaic that is printed in the Sigurim, the Machzorim, then he should find a translation and say it in a, that he understands. The standard nusach includes in it that I'm making this eruv for me and for everybody who lives in the city. You do not need to say those words, because our eruv does not work for other people unless we mezakeh it specifically. The rob of a town has a mitzvah to say that lashon and leave it up to him to decide how he wants to do it. But as a personal balabais, we do not say the lashon of lanu l'chol adarim v'ir hazoris. You don't need to say it. But if you say it to someone else, then remember to include this and for my guest. If you have 2 days Yom Tov, the Erev has to be done on the Erev Yom Tov of the Thursday. If you didn't make it on Wednesday, you cannot make it on well, you shouldn't make it on Thursday. If you didn't make it on Wednesday, whether you can make it on Thursday, or Tnai and Friday, that you should ask for China. But the Ikar Hadin, the Eruv has to be done before Yom Tov comes in. Someone who is not certain whether they're going to cook or not, if they haven't confirmed, they've been invited out for the meals and haven't been confirmed, and they want to make Eruv Tashilin, or they're not sure if they're going to finish cooking and everything else, I mean, most people are going to do some sort of cooking, because even if all your food is pre-cooked, but you're going to warm it up on Friday or something like that, so you're going to do Maisa Bishul. If you need Eruv Tashina, but someone who's misupak, whether they're not sure whether they're going to do it, if they're going to need it for cooking or not, they should make Eruv Tashina with a bracha, and even if in the end it works out that they didn't, that's fine, because they made it on the possibility of allowing them to cook. Someone who knows for sure they're not going to cook, they're invited out for all the meals. All you do is you need to light candles, so then you make Eruv Tashin, but not with a bracha. I guess the chiyuv of Eruv Tashin applies to men and women, and therefore if a woman lives without a husband, whether she's divorced or a widow, she is chayev, and therefore she should make Eruv Tashin herself. If she is not, she does not know how to make Eruv Tashin, she doesn't know the halacha, she doesn't understand God in Hebrew, whatever the case may be, then the Eshayla should be made, and possibly the Rav will say, in such a circumstance, she should rely on the rabbi's Eruv Tashin. Generally speaking, someone who can make an error themselves should not rely on the rabbi. If a person did forget, there is a possibility of relying on the rabbi, but interesting what they wrote is the Chazal wrote that only once. So you have a one-time-a-lifetime heter of forgetting and relying on the rabbi. If you forgot once, that's it, you don't have a rabbi again. That's why we put it that way to make people very careful to make sure that they should do it. Someone who has yahrzeit on Shabbos should preferably, and he wants to have a yahrzeit candle burning, he should preferably prepare a 72-hour candle before Yom Tov and have it burning all the way and not light it on Yom Tov, there's a heter to light a Yom Tov candle on, a yahrzeit candle on Yom Tov for Yom Tov, but to light it on Yom Tov for Shabbos, you're relying on Eruv Tashilin for the Gabi Adlokateris, better to use a long 72-hour candle rather than to light a yahrzeit candle on Yom Tov itself. Boiling water is considered cooking, and therefore if you're going to be boiling water for Shabbos, even though you cook anything else, is considered as cooking. Do need to make Eruv Tashilin with a bracha for that. One more thing, as we've got less than a minute to go, and that is you can set the table and wash the dishes on Friday for Shabbos, but that's all because it's related to food. If it's non-food related preparations, before we do. So as I said, you can set the table and you can wash the dishes on Friday for Shabbos. And with that, we want to wish everybody a Kesivah V'Kesivah Tova, a good Rosh Hashanah. Meet again next year in Yirtzeh Hashem.
Thank you.
Oh, my name
is Bakasha.
I'll see you.